If we've never met, my name is Matthew, and I'm one of the pastors in our kind of network of churches, but it's good to meet you. It's wonderful to be here, and we're going to dive into Romans chapter 12 today. So if you have your Bible, if you could grab Romans chapter 12, you can open up to Romans 12. That would be amazing. But so we've been in this series called First Love, and it's for 8 weeks, what we've been trying to do is just capture this deep love of God for us, the persistent, the available, the tender love of God for us. And as you know, throughout the last number of weeks, we've been asking the question, do you remember the love you had for Jesus at first? That this is, many of us who have followed Jesus for a while, we look back at a time when we felt much closer to Jesus. Maybe we felt a little bit more like we could sense his love for us. And we long for those days. And what we're doing is our three campuses as a church is we're trying to experience a renewal of the love of God in our lives, that we would experience this joy of returning to our first love. And I truly believe that our richest, deepest, most beautiful years of following Jesus are in front of us. They're not behind us. They're in front of us. And so I want to use this Charles Spurgeon quote as we begin. He says, quote, "Believe me, if you have but a spark of desire after Christ, he has a whole furnace of desire after you." So why are you here today? Why did you come? I think you came with the hope that you would experience the love of God, that you would sense the love of God for you. And so let's pray. Let's ask him to come and move. Lord God, we give this time to you. We pray that you would fill us with your love. Lord God, we don't want to just experience calloused hearts or cold hearts or distant hearts. We want a deep union with you. And so we pray you would come, fill us with your love again. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so as Pastor Jeff has told you, we're walking through seven pillars of discipleship in this series. We're talking about evangelism, community, prayer, scripture, serving in our spiritual gifts, confession or repentance, and worship. Those seven things. So week by week, we're looking at each of these, and we're asking the question, how can we practice this discipline or practice this practice while enjoying deep union with Christ? So today, our focus is serving in our spiritual gifts. And the question we're asking is, how can you and I serve God out of a place of deep connection and love? How can you and I serve God in the unique way in which we're wired? And how can that restore us into a deep love for Jesus? You see, you and I can serve out of a pretty bad place. I can serve, Matthew can serve God out of a place of exhaustion, bitterness, legalism, pride, and fear. I don't want that. I don't want to serve Jesus out of those places. And here's our prayer today. God, I want to enjoy loving you as I love others. That's it. I want to begin with a quick illustration, and I want to tell you about my kids. Occasionally, my kids will get inspired to do chores, but most of the time, they do not love to clean. They do not love chores. When Tanya and I ask our kids to clean the house, they look like the boneless chickens from the Far Side cartoon of the Boneless Chicken Ranch. You guys remember this picture? I think we have the picture. Do we have the picture? Yeah, there it is. So my kids just like, they just suddenly just like drape themselves over couches, and they suddenly just fall on the floor, and they have no energy, apparently, to do any kind of chores. So, except for one chore. One chore is a little bit different, and I'll just explain why. It's actually cleaning the family van. You know the family van? You know, the Cheerios in every nook and cranny, random bubble tea cups on the seats, veggie straws crushed into the carpet, broken plastic toys from McDonald's, and sand everywhere. You're finding sand in like January, and you're like, when was the last time we had sand in here? And I'm usually assigned the task of van cleaning, and when I invite the kids to come with me, their answer has recently been yes. And I'll tell you why. because I buy them French fries. And they now here's the deal. They come with me to the car cleaning place. They clean out the van. And then what they do is they have this ritual of popping open the trunk of the van, sitting in the trunk of the van with the door opened, and they eat French fries. Now, some of you are wondering, you're cleaning the van and they're eating French fries in the van. But just don't judge. It's our system. It's the thing we're working out. But three quick things. When I was preparing the sermon, I thought about the idea of spending time with the Father, right, or our Heavenly Father. And I thought about them, and I thought, why do they like to do this? Well, number one, they like French fries. Number two, I think they like spending time with me. It's an event. We're doing this together. And number three, deep down, I think they do love to help. I think children do love purpose. They like feeling like they're part of a team and accomplishing something. And so the fries are great, but they're spending time with me, their dad, and they're wired to serve. They're wired to help and contribute. Now think of your Heavenly Father and think about you. You and I are wired to serve, but deep down, we also want to just be with him. So that's what today's about. Today I want to argue that if you feel far from God, if you are feeling distant from God, if you feel like your love for your Heavenly Father has run dry, try loving your neighbor in the unique way in which you are wired. And when you do, I believe that you'll experience the love of God. You see, when I serve, when we love others, when we discover the unique gifts God has given us, and when we spend our life using those gifts to bless others, in that place, what's happening? I'm learning his heart. I'm enjoying the gifts he's given me. I am doing his will, which pleases him. I'm on the front lines of serving in the kingdom of God. It's like take your child to work day. And what happens? We as children learn to do what he's doing, and we sense a deeper union with him. So it's right there where I can experience his love, and there's nothing better. So our prayer, again, is God, I want to enjoy loving you as I love others. Now, with your Bibles, if you could go to Romans 12, we're going to look at Romans 12, and we're going to start in verse 3. And if you're new to Jesus, just so you know, there's a guy named Paul, who his life was changed by Jesus, and he wrote to a church in the city of Rome, and he was encouraging them in their Christian life. And in one moment of his letter to them, he tells them that they are one body, and this one body has many different members, as he calls them, parts of the body. And his image is that each one of us, so Yorkson, each one of you, if Paul was writing you a letter, he would say, each one of you here at Yorkson is wired with different gifts. Or when some of you gave your life to Jesus, when you became a Christian, God gave you a spiritual gift. And he has a unique, specific role for you to play in this body that no one else has. You are wired in a unique way. So this is what Paul's trying to say to the church at Rome. So let's listen to what he says. He says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So, Yorkson, this is the word of the Lord. See, as followers of Jesus, we're part of this body. So the Christian life is not an individual thing. If you're new to Jesus here, just so you know, this is not like there's one cookie cutter way in which you serve as a Christian. No, this is an us thing. It's a we thing. It's a family thing. Together as one body, God fills us with his Holy Spirit. And like a body has many members, so eyes, arms, legs, ears, fingers, each of these members do not all have the same function. And each of these members belongs to all the others. So you belong to one another, and you don't have the same function. Did you know that? Are you aware of that? Now, this list in Romans 12 is often referred to as spiritual gifts. But did you know, this is a little nerdy moment, but did you know the phrase spiritual gifts is not in the Bible? The closest we get is 1 Corinthians 12, which is now concerning, and the Greek word is pneumatikos, which means spiritual things. But there are several places in the New Testament where we get this list of different ways in which people are serving or worshiping. And if you're brand new to the Bible, this might be a new list for you. But for those of you who have read the New Testament before, I'm going to take you to some familiar passages here. But let me go through this list. So in Romans 12, the list uses the Greek word charisma, which means a grace from God to the church. It's this concrete expression of grace. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Greek word is phanerosis, which is a manifestation of the Spirit in worship. There are things that happen, Yorkson, as you come to worship God. There are these manifestations of what the Spirit wants to do as we worship. In Ephesians 4, the Greek word is doma, and that's just a leadership role. Many of you have leadership roles here at Yorkson. In 1 Corinthians 12, another word is diakonia, which is a form of service. And another place in 1 Corinthians 12, we read the Greek word energemata, which is an energy or a power for God's people. So five Greek words: charisma, phanerosis, doma, diakonia, and energemata, which are grace, manifestation, gift, role, service, or power. So when I'm using the phrase spiritual gifts, I mean all of these things bundled together. So I said all that to say a very simple thing. It's all of these things bundled together. Here's what they all have in common. They're all beautiful moments where God shows up through his Holy Spirit and gives us this grace to love each other, charisma. He gives us a manifestation of his Holy Spirit in worship, phanerosis. He gives the gift of leadership to the church, doma. He gives a new way to serve and care for each other, diakonia. And he gives us a power made real among us, which is energemata. So these are all beautiful spiritual gifts. And we want the fullness, like Yorkson, the health of this campus will only happen when you are using your spiritual gift. It will only happen when all of us together lean in and use our gifts. And only then can we see the diversity of how beautiful God is. We see his gifts at work. Now, how many gifts are there? Well, let me read a few of the passages, and I'm just going to show you the words in each passage. And if you want, if you have a pencil or a pen, or you have your phone, feel free. Like, when I go through this list, and there's one, two, three that, like, jump out at you, just write it down. You might see your gift on this list. So here we go. In Romans 12, prophesying, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, mercy. In 1 Corinthians 12, message of wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Elsewhere in 1 Corinthians 12, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, helping, guidance/administration. Some of you just want to say amen when you see that on there. Just see, some of you have the gift of, I'm pausing here. Some of you have the gift of administration and you've never seen it as a spiritual gift. Just know you are uniquely wired with that gift. It's beautiful. Also, different kinds of tongues. Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. There's over 20 distinct gifts mentioned in the New Testament, but I don't think we need to limit God to these gifts alone. For example, where's the gift of prayer? Where's the gift of leading in musical worship? And so on. Remember, these lists were written by the Apostle Paul to different churches to highlight ways in which God was at work in Corinth, ways in which God was at work in Ephesus, ways in which God was at work in Rome. So while we have over these 20 gifts mentioned, the Spirit is amazing. He's beautiful. He's sovereign. And he can move in any way he chooses to move. As John Stott says, quote, "The living God who loves variety and is a generous giver may well bestow many, many more than that." See, the Holy Spirit is delighted to give different gifts to you and I so that together we enjoy him as we love one another. Enjoy him as we love one another. When I was sitting down to type the sermon, I literally was typing that sentence when my son Micah, who's 8 years old, ran into the room, said, "What are you typing?" So I said, "Well, I'm talking about spiritual gifts." And I said to him, I said, "I think God has given you gifts too, Micah." And he immediately looked at me and says, "Like being awesome at hockey?" And I was like, "I guess, yes, okay, yeah." You know, and how will we use all of the gifts, the skills, the talents, the things God has given us, whether we're wired like it since we were young or whether they're unique gifts given to us when we became Christians, how do we use all of it to love him and love our neighbor? When we're doing it, we experience a nearness. It's like we're returning to our first love as we get to use our gift. Now, I want you to hear what the Apostle Paul says. He says these encouraging words. He says, "For we are his workmanship." Pause. That's his piece of art. You are his piece of art. By the way, if you're just checking out Christianity right now, you're checking out Jesus, this is how God sees you. You were uniquely designed in his art studio. He puts you together in a way in which no one else is put together. You are uniquely designed. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Pause there. You were made for a purpose. You were not made to be an endless consumer of goods until you die. That's not your purpose in life. You have a greater purpose to love God, to love your neighbor, and to use the unique things he has given you and wired you with, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's beautiful. You're God's piece of art. Do you know how you're wired? Do you know the gifts he has given you? I want to illustrate these unique gifts from Romans 12 with an illustration involving Tim Hortons donuts. Now, unfortunately, I didn't actually bring the box of donuts with me, which is really lame, but you're just going to have to imagine that I'm carrying a box of donuts. I'm really indebted to my professor, Daryl Johnson, who sent me this image. So this is his image. He got it from a guy named Dr. Glenn Thorpe. But imagine I'm carrying a box of donuts across the stage randomly in front of all of you. And then what I did is I accidentally tripped on some cords. Let's say there were some cords lying here. And the amazing, amazing setup crew just forgot to move some cords. And so then I trip. And then I look like a fool. And donuts go everywhere. And I'm lying on the ground. Now, imagine there are seven of you who come up to me, and you're looking at me, and there's seven of you, and the seven of you all have the seven gifts mentioned in Romans 12, okay? Mercy, leadership, giving, exhortation, and so on. Each of you come up, and I think you would respond differently to me. Let me give you an example. Mercy, the person in the room, some of you have the gift of mercy. Mercy comes and says, "Oh, Matthew, it's okay. You're going to be okay. We all make mistakes." And they know I'm embarrassed. And so they just kind of put their arm around me, right? That's mercy. Maybe that's you. For those of you in the room with the gift of leadership, you walk up and you look at me and you see the situation. You say, "Somebody get a broom and a dustpan. Somebody grab duct tape and tape those cords down. Hey, you. Go to Timmy's and grab some more donuts." And what we're going to do is we're going to set up a task force to look into the problem with all of these cords, right? You know who you are in the room, leaders, right? Giving. Giving comes up and says, "Hold on, whoa, 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 wait, I'll buy the donuts. And actually, here's some more money that I want to give to Pastor Jeff to buy a better audiovisual system, so you never have to tape down cords again. It's on me, right? I'll write you the check." That's giving. Exhortation says, comes up, sees the situation and says, "Matthew, here's the deal. A little tough love here. Next time you need to walk around the cords, And you need to be a little bit more honest with the tech team that the cords are in the wrong place. And listen, I know you don't like to hurt people's feelings, but let's get some honesty around here, right? Exhortation, you know who you are. But we need you. Teaching says, okay, the reason this happened is twofold. Point number one, cords should never be left unsecured. Point number two, the donuts should have been in more securely wrapped position. But let me end with the gospel. God loves you. Do you see how he's the one who has fallen to death and is now lifted up so you never have to fall again? Right? This is the teacher. Service approaches and doesn't say a word. They quietly ran to the janitor's closet, grabbed the broom, came out, and were already sweeping while everyone else was yakking, right? They're on the floor, no words. They're just sweeping it up, right? They're on their hands and knees doing this good deed within seconds. And finally, prophecy. Prophecy comes and says, here's the deal. This is what happens when you're not careful. Do you see the parable in all of this? Cords are always lying across our path. The evil one is always trying to trip us up. We need to stay alert to the dangers all around us, visible and invisible. All right, there you go. Which one are you? You're in here. You're on that list. Where are you? Where are you? How would you respond? See, how you respond is different from how others respond, but it's the unique way God has wired you. It's the gift he has given you. It's good. We need you and your response. When spiritual gifts are active in the church, we're seeing him. Because see, when I see someone teach with truth, I come to know the Holy Spirit, who is the truth. When someone shares a word of wisdom, I'm like, oh, I'm coming to know the Spirit of wisdom. When someone gives generously, I'm like, oh, I come to know the God who gives generously. So when we serve in our gifts, we come to see him in one another. We want the giver. We don't just want the gifts. Each of these gifts points to him. We want his presence, C-E, not just his presence, T-S. The Holy Spirit gives us his charisma, his phanerosis, his doma, his diakonia, his energemata. But over all of those things, we want him, more of him. Some of you know the name Eric Liddell. Have you guys seen Chariots of Fire? Any of you seen that movie, Chariots of Fire? Yeah, just a few of you. It's an older movie. He was a Scottish runner, and he was a Christian missionary who won the gold medal in the 400-meter race at the 1924 Olympics in Paris. His story is depicted in the movie Chariots of Fire. But he was a Christian, and he was a really fast runner. And he says this, quote, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. How beautiful is that? It was Professor Gordon Fee who encouraged us to apply that to spiritual gifts. Apply it to your life. And how would you say it? Like, God made me to give, and when I give, I feel his pleasure. God made me merciful, and when I show mercy, I feel his pleasure. God made me to serve. God made me to teach. God made me to lead. And when I do that, I feel his pleasure. This last year was a bit of a difficult one for me. I went on a leave from work, and during that time, I kind of wondered if I would come back to do this role at the church, and I started thinking through maybe different ways in which God was asking me in a new chapter of life to kind of change some things. And so I was trying to listen to God's voice, and in April, there was a church in our city, not any of our three campuses, but a different church, that was having a prayer day at the Westminster Abbey and Mission. I don't know if you've been up there. It's a beautiful property. And it was a day of listening to God. So you put away your phone, you only had the Bible, and they did a little 30-minute intro. And then the rest of the day, luckily it was a sunny day, we walked around this property, and we just walked through the forest, spent some time in a chapel. We just were trying to listen to God's voice. And during that time, that quote from Chariots of Fire came to mind. When I run, I feel God's pleasure. And I was like, why is that popping into my head? And that day, I was just trying to pray through that. And I was like, well, God, what? Like, Like, what is the running? Clearly, running is a metaphor because I don't like to run. So it's like, clearly this is a metaphor because I'm not going to run for the second half of my life. What is the metaphor for running? And I'm like, what is it? God, what? And a friend of mine sent me an email and said, hey, I just had a dream where you had a lot of joy. It was pretty cool. And then that was it. And I'm like, reply. Can you please tell me more about the dream? What was I doing? What gives me joy? I'm like, I need to know. What is giving me joy? And this person wrote back and they said, oh, no, it was that you got a new pair of runners and you were like really excited. And I was like, weird, but that's funny because like that phrase, when I run, I feel God's, you know, I was thinking about Chariots of Fire and then this friend of mine has a dream about me getting a new pair of runners. That's odd. And I'm praying for clarity. Then one of my friends, and hopefully he's okay with me mentioning his name, but it was Stuart Hodgson here, who's part of Yorkson, met with me for coffee to encourage me. And he said, I've been praying Psalm 119, verses 25 to 32. And it starts off with verse 28 says, my soul is weary with sorrow. And I was like, oh, I'm right there. My soul is weary with sorrow. And then verse 32 said, I run in the path of your commands. I run in the path of your commands. I'm like, Stuart, that's really weird. I'm praying for clarity, and here's another running image. And so I took all of this together, and then I realized in the scriptures, I started realizing that this idea of bringing good news, the gospel, is a running image in the Bible. So in the book of Isaiah, we hear how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. It's like a messenger running, right? With the good news in their hand, and they say, you know, something about the empire, like the emperor has a new child, or the emperor won a war in Gaul, or something like that, right? And that what Roman runners would run with the good news in their hand. And in Ephesians, some of you know this, in the book of Ephesians, there's this armor of God that we read about. And on the feet, it's feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So again, all of this was coming together, and I felt like God was giving me clarity. It's like, and he's just saying, listen, Matthew, when you get the chance to share the good news, doesn't matter whether it's in a larger group or one-on-one over a coffee, when you get a chance to run with the good news, bring the good news, that is where you sense my pleasure. That's where you sense joy. And it just encouraged me, and I was like, okay, for the second half of my life, I just want to do whatever it is that involves bringing the good news of the gospel. Like that's what I want to spend the rest of my life doing. And it brings me joy thinking about it. And I want that same joy. I want you to have that joy. So begin praying. Say, God, how have you wired me? Like, what are the unique gifts that you've given me? How can I sense that pleasure as I do these things for you? So here's four quick things. First of all, look at your life. How are you wired? Ever since you were young, are there things that you have done that you're like, I know I'm wired for that? Number two, pray for the gifts. Did you know that you were encouraged to pray for them? Listen to Paul. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Do you eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit? I just gave you a list of 20 of them. Is there one on there that you're like, I wish I could grow in that? Holy Spirit, would you give me that gift? So you're encouraged to pray for it. Third, just notice the needs around you. There are needs around you, and I believe God gives us spiritual gifts to meet the needs of those around us. Frederick Buechner writes, quote, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. So look at the brokenness of the world around us. Look at the brokenness of our city and or whatever's going on. And then you look at your deep gladness, how God has wired you. That's where you're called to be on mission. The world is hurting. Do we see the need? God's delighted to break our heart for our city and say, this is how I feel. And I want to use you to bring hope. And finally, number four, see the need and just jump in and try it out. Like try it out. Jump into the deep end and try out a gift, right? When you actively take a step of faith to love your neighbor, I think God meets us in that place with his gifts. Sometimes we don't discover how God has wired us until we try some stuff out. I love how a pastor, named Sam Storms says it. He says, quote, God will more likely meet us with his gifts in the midst of trying to help his children than he would while we're taking a spiritual gifts analysis test. I like that. So look at your life, pray for the gifts, see a need, and try it out. And I pray that God would give you such beautiful clarity in the days ahead of the ways in which he wants to draw you to himself as you love your neighbor. Now, I do want to say there's some pretty bad ways to serve. And what I'm about to mention here, I've done all of these things. So this is like a mirror to my own life. There's a way of serving that's anchored in people pleasing. There is a way of serving that's rooted in trying to earn God's love. But we don't earn God's love. There's a way of serving that assumes that if I do this, then God owes me. And then we're frustrated at God when he doesn't do what we want him to do. There is a way of serving from a place of bitterness, feeling like no one else is stepping up to do it. Fine, I'll do it, right? But on the opposite end, there's a way of serving that says no to everything until the perfect low cost, less stress, low bar, least demanding option rolls around. And you need to know, I believe boundaries are good. Having margin in life is a good thing. I do believe those things. But sometimes we have such tight boundaries that we end up doing nothing. And we end up not serving. So we all are aware there's some pretty bad ways of serving. And if we're feeling any of these things, if you're feeling empty, depleted, exhausted, frustrated, if you're feeling disconnected, or maybe some of you in the room are feeling underutilized, welcome to an opportunity this fall to pause, to lean in prayer, to say, God, I'm listening. Like, I want to know. Can someone else have a dream about me? You know? Can I open up your word and discover? Can I just start doing some things and you show me the things I'm good at and the ways in which you've given me gifts? What if this fall you could experience how God has wired you? How fun would that be? And then as you lean in, it's not easy. Serving the Lord, it can be challenging at times. But that you would say months from now, you'd go, oh my goodness, I feel so close to him. Yes, it's hard. Yes, there's a lot going on, but I feel so close to him. I feel his pleasure when I run, right? And so we just remember today that your identity is an adopted child of God. You don't serve to earn God's love. Remember the gospel. He gave his life for you. He sacrificed his life on a cross for you. He continued to give and give with incredible love. You are loved. And he died and rose from the dead, forgiving our sins, giving us new life. You and I get to serve him out of a place of newness of life. And so, as we end, I would love for us to stand. And as we stand, I'd love to invite the worship team forward. And if you would, if you feel comfortable, would you close your eyes? Some of you might be new to God, and I would welcome you to try praying here. So you're welcome to just close your eyes. And our prayer today is simply going to be, Lord, I want more of you. God, we want more of you. Come, Holy Spirit. For all my friends in the room who are feeling discouraged, depleted, exhausted, confused, God, I pray right now that they would be reminded of the love of the Father, of your love. And in this moment, would you show us the gifts you've given us? Friends, if you want to know, take a quiet moment now and ask Him, God, how have you wired me? How have you shaped me? What are the gifts that you've given me through your Holy Spirit? Lord God, I pray that in the coming weeks, all of my friends in this room would begin to see the way in which each one of them are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for these beautiful good works that you've prepared in advance for us to do. And I pray that as my friends here at Yorkson begin to run, that they would feel your pleasure, that each one would experience a return to your love, to their first love, as they discover more and more of who they are, and as they draw close to your love. I pray all of this in your name.